our true image in Eden, written by Trevor Egaga. Daniel chapter 10 from verse 2 to 7. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins was girded with fine gold of upaz, his body also like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. As you read on, bear in mind that the scope of this, of the ministry which the Lord has committed into our hands, is purely to act as witnesses to the true perfect heavenly model for all men to see and by it be saved. The true heavenly model is all embedded in God's offspring, whom we call Christ Jesus in this present day. I am careful to mention this present day because you need discerning eyes to recognize him after the spirit, not after some form of outer human derived identity or name tag. If you have a true revelation of Christ, you will know that he is simply the living one who can manifest himself in any form that he chooses to, for all things are his and for his pleasure. Quote, Revelations chapter 4 verse 11, quote, the good news from heaven, known as the gospel, only seeks to awaken us to the reality that we originated from that perfect heavenly model and remain part and parcel of that model. In this article, we will by the Spirit decode Daniel's encounter with a man from heaven and see what God was trying to transmit through this encounter. So the things you will read about might initially sound disturbing because humanly conceived concepts of Christ, ourselves, angels, prayers, fasting, principalities and powers, spiritual warfare, etc., will be overturned. But patient scrutiny of the words by the Spirit will cause you to see light, for in his light we see light, confirming the manifold and unsearchable wisdom and the consistency of the Word of God many hundred years before the Apostle John had his heavenly encounter with the Alpha and Omega while on the island of Patmos, as recorded in the book of Revelation, The prophet Daniel had also seen it and recorded it in his manuscripts. Revelation, translated in the Greek to mean the apocalypse of Jesus, is all about the unveiling, manifestation, revealing, etc., of the invisible and incorruptible Son of God who is from eternity. You can never know that Daniel saw this same revelation if your eyes are stayed on Jesus after the flesh. We must grow up and awaken to the reality that he simply is, without any genealogy that ties him to a natural birth. If we still try to pinpoint him to some visible form or nameable entity upon the earth, we only create imaginary idols in our minds that cannot in any way give life. During the time of Daniel, his native country Israel, which was meant to be the epitome of perfection and joy above all the nations of the earth, was reduced to rubble and its inhabitants dispersed upon the earth with no land of theirs. Seeing the desolation of Israel, Daniel, in intercession mode, sought the Lord in prayers and supplication. He sought to inquire about the end, when Israel will be restored back to their country, as prophesied by the prophets of old. You see this in Daniel chapter 9. In the same vein in which the prophets of old prophesied calamity, destruction, and the dispersing of Israel among the nations, they also prophesied of the glorious return of the Israelites back to the promised land, never to be destroyed nor dispersed anymore. Israel, like we know, was brutally sacked from the promised land because they failed to fulfill their part of their covenant with God, and further failed to heed to the voices of the many prophets of God sent to them to warn them of impending doom. Jeremiah chapter 25 from verse 4. And the Lord sent unto you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. We skip to verse 9. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, I will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and we utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment and an hissing and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of meat, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candles. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and this nation shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Daniel, however, knew from the books of the prophets that God promised a glorious end for his people dispersed among the nations. See this in Jeremiah chapter 29 from verse 10 to 14. After 70 years of desolations and tribulation among the nation, God's promise that he will restore them to their land, never be to be taken away from it again, because God had promised to write his laws in their hearts and give them a new spirit so that they never transgress against him anymore. Jeremiah chapter 31 from verse 33 to 37. Also Ezekiel chapter 36. As Daniel sought the face of the Lord, his mind was set on the glorious return of the Jews back into their inheritance. His waiting on the Lord led to a series of visions revealing prophetic events pertaining to the end and restoration of Israel. Some say that the restoration of Israel was fulfilled in the time of Zerubbabel. Others say it was fulfilled when Israel was restored to their land through the unexpected United Nations resolution many years back. Many today still look towards the Middle East, expecting that something would happen there, but they are greatly mistaken. If you have ears, hear. Nothing will happen in the Middle East. If something happens, it has nothing to do with the gathering of the Lord's people into their glorious land. From generation to generation, as people look out for signs, a people will always enter in unnoticed by the outer world. We are, however, discovering that those prophecies of old concerning the restoration of Israel are mere shadows of that eternal work which God is performing in his people today. Unknown to Daniel and many others, what he was seeing in his visions were simple parables and, you know, pointers to God's eternal plan to redeem his people from among the nations where we are once pining away in the transgression of Adam. For we know his good will is to gather all men from among the nations in one, in Christ, the offspring of God. This is why he sounded the trumpet today, to awaken his people and to gather them from among the nations into his everlasting kingdom, the New Jerusalem, where they can find the true beauty and glory of the living God. Isaiah chapter 27, verse 13. And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mountain at Jerusalem. You see, from the perspective of God, his people, his kingdom or garden city, is not some piece of land in the Middle East, but rather it is his eternal celestial kingdom, otherwise known as the heavenly Jerusalem or the garden and paradise of God. This is the thing that the Father is revealing to us today. We all originated from that celestial city, but we descended in what we can call the transgression of Adam. The transgression of Adam is all about a confirmation from the incorruptible celestial nature of God to that which is earthly and corruptible. As long as a man goes this way, he transgresses against God and loses out on its inheritance in the eternal city of light. This is the way we were when we walk like the earthly-minded Gentiles, the nations, who walk according to the vanity of their minds. Read Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 17 to 19. God in his mercy seeks to gather us from among the Gentiles back into his celestial everlasting kingdom where we can once more live in the totality of his glory. All this is fulfilled in his people who are Jews after the spirit, not after the flesh. So if you have your mind focused on a physical nation, you better sit back and listen to what the Spirit has to say. We must awaken from the realms of parables and begin to see truth as it is in the mind of God. Insight into the end. The visions of Daniel were visions concerning the end, which is why Jesus quoted him when he was speaking of the signs of the end in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, let's read from verse 14 to 16. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you shall therefore see the abomination of desolations spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. One may ask, what is this end that Jesus was speaking about? The end that Jesus was referring to is directed to the disciples of Christ, not to God, not to the world. If you study Matthew chapter 24 properly, you will know that Jesus was addressing the disciples who hear his voice and are being gathered unto him in God's kingdom, the city set upon the hill. Of course, by now, we know that the words of Jesus being the voice of the Spirit is the same throughout all eternity, meaning those words of Jesus are still applicable to we who hear the voice of the Spirit today. So never be fooled into thinking that the end is reference to some event that occurred some time back. Or some event that will happen tomorrow. It is applicable to those who are awakening in Christ and gathering unto him now. The end is the realization of the accomplished redemptive work of God in our individual lives, which we know is none other than will be found perfect in Christ, the offspring of God. The end comes after the gospel is preached and received with gratitude by those who are about to be saved. What is the gospel that Jesus was referring to? It is the message from above, revealing the mystery of Christ, the image and the glory of God within every man. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, and Colossians chapter 1, from verse 25 to 27. As you receive the light of the gospel of God's kingdom within, the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place is exposed and we see him, know or identify him. The abomination of desolation is the beastly image of mortal man that we bore in our ignorance. He is the man of sin that sits in the temple of God, the holy place, as if he is God. But he must be swept away by the brightness of the revelation of Christ through the evangel from above. You read this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 from verse 3 to 4. You see, nobody is doing anything to us. We suffer because we lived in ignorance of the nature of our true selves. When the light shines, you begin to realize that your problem is the carnal identity we put on in ignorance. And as long as we continue in carnality, we lose out on the unlimited spiritual blessings committed to us from the foundation of the world. If a man sees the light and reverts back to the truth by putting on the spiritual man of God from heaven, who is the perfectly created one of God in the image of God, he once more rediscovers that all things are positively his for his pleasure. Colossians chapter 3 from verse 9 to 10. As our eyes of understanding are being enlightened, we recognize the futility of the lawless and boastful man of the flesh. When we see him, we are admonished to flee to the high mountains of Zion, where God's kingdom is situated. We flee the abomination of our earthly identity by ascending by the Spirit of truth back into the image of Christ, which we had in the beginning. It's all about living aside the corrupt image of the earthly and putting on the image of the heavenly. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49. The Spirit says, ascend up unto the spiritual heights of God until every shadow that has beclouded your comprehension of your celestial nature be no more. Solomon chapter 2 verse 17 and Solomon chapter 4 verse 6. For where the eagles are gathered, the mountain peak, that is where the celestial body of Christ is. You read this in Matthew chapter 24 verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. As the mountains flee, the morning stars dawn in our hearts, and the beauty of God's creation within and without is unveiled before our very eyes. This is the famous lightning coming out from the east unto the west. It is the movement of the sun, the morning star, as it comes out of its hidden chamber and dawns in us. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. As all this occurs in the elect, death is no more, and its fruits of pain and fear and anxiety pass away, and it's in its place life, eternal security, abundance, everlasting joy, and laughter are ushered in. This is the end of the matter for those who know truth. The end comes when we have consciously rediscovered ourselves in Christ, who inherits God's kingdom. In that day, man awakens to the reality that we are Him and He is us and we are in God the Father. You read John chapter 14, verse 20. So you see, the end has nothing to do with the fairy tale versions that we hear from pulpits and many other sources today. It is all within we who are consciously being gathered out of the outer darkness that constitutes our mortal identities and this present world system into Christ, the image of God. Daniel in prayer and fasting. When Daniel set out to humble himself in fasting and prayer, his mind was stayed on one thing, and that is the restoration of Israel back to their land. When we pray today, what is our focus and drive? Jesus once gave us a clue on how to pray in Matthew chapter 6 from verse 7 to 13. It was a simple prayer that was focused on realizing the kingdom within. Thy kingdom come. Because he recognized that all we ever need for our prosperity and peace is the realization of God's kingdom in us. In terms of needs in this present world, as lowly men, we truly do not know what to pray for. A man is programmed to think he needs money, a marriage partner, a good family, a good job, good health, extra money, investments to secure him in his old age, and many others, but he is greatly mistaken. Those things men try to lay hold on in this world as a covering or some form of security only evaporate with time. Your pensions or service or savings can vanish in a moment. Health can disappoint when you least expect it. Your loved ones whom you invest and hope in can turn against you. We see this so often. That is why people get heartbroken and miserable. These things that men hope on have no eternal value. What we need is the kingdom and the power therein. This is what we ever need to seek and lay a hold on throughout all eternity. We must grow and learn to believe that our God and Father is in charge and have our eyes focused in the Spirit at the right hand of God where the throne of Christ is situated. This might sound alien, but better believe it. The power of God is enough to sustain the sons of God in all things. This was the original design in the beginning. Not for us to go about struggling for survival like the nations who do not know the power of God do. When Adam was reigning in glory in Eden, there was no thought for tomorrow, nor the anxieties that we experience as men, because he was enveloped in the knowledge and the power of God. It was the same power that clothed Jesus, fed him, multiplied the loaves of bread, and fed multitudes, paid his taxes, provided his transportation, kept him in perfect peace in the midst of the raging sea, and kept him safe and untouchable until the appointed time of his crucifixion. So our part is to seek the kingdom and its power diligently, and to keep it, knowing every other thing will be added. Those who seek the kingdom of God also seek to be aligned with his will, because only those who do his will can experience the unfolding of his kingdom and power within. thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. What is the will of God? The will of God is that we live after the true celestial model from the beginning and retain it throughout all eternity. Like we know, Christ is the truth. He is the true creature known of God. So conformation to Christ the Spirit is the will of God. We must recognize Him first and conform ourselves to that celestial image by faith in meditation, prayers, and fasting. Today we pray and fast by exercising ourselves in the mystery of godliness being revealed from heaven today. True prayer and fasting is abstention from the flesh, the carnal mindset, and walking in the spiritual mindset by faith. This is the fast acceptable to the Lord. It is all about our exercising ourselves in godliness while awaiting the coming or the unveiling of God's kingdom and omnipotent power of God within us. Exercise ourselves in the mystery of godliness is about changing our mindset and exercising ourselves to speak His word and do His will. As Daniel humbled himself and walked soberly before the Lord in fasting and prayers, he experienced a great visitation by the river of Hiddekel. Daniel chapter 10, verse 4 to 7. Daniel saw a man clothed in linen with a body like a precious transparent gemstone. He had a belt made of pure gold, eyes burning like lamps of fire, arms and feet as polished brass, and a voice like the voice of a multitude. The appearance of the man was so dreadful and glorious that those who were by the river fled. That thing Daniel saw is the same thing that any man who is determined to humble himself before the face of the living God and receive understanding from above will see this very day. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. The celestial man from paradise. Allegorically speaking, what the Spirit was trying to demonstrate is that in waiting on the Lord, Daniel was able to reach to the other side of the river to contact that celestial man from Eden. Remember that the river Hiddekel, same as Tigris, is one of the four rivers of Eden. And Eden, like we know, represents God's kingdom and paradise. Genesis chapter 2, verse 10. In man's descent and transgression, he finds himself on the other side of the river, dispersed among the nations of the earth. Today, those who have the true vision of the kingdom seek to connect to that celestial man who only inhabits the paradise of God. That celestial man is the one we call the Lord Jesus Christ this very day. It represents the image of the invisible living one which Jesus was trying to reveal to the world so that through him all men can be saved. This is the Alpha and the Omega, the bright and morning star, the Almighty One who was and is to come. Revelation chapter 22 verse 13. Revelation chapter 22 verse 16. He is the answer to prayers to the prayers of the saints and indeed all men. For he will appear again to those who earnestly seek him. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 28 reads, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Meditate on the words of Jesus, I am come that you might have life in abundance, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. These words of Jesus can be matched with the words of the man from heaven who told Daniel, I am come for thy words. Daniel chapter 10 verse 12. When we seek the Lord in truth, our reward is realizing the I am coming in us. So that where he is where we will be, for we are him. His coming or appearing is after a selective manner within those that have this mystery and guard it with jealousy. Every man should lift up his face to the everlasting hills in prayers and expectation, awaiting the unspeakable mercy of the Lord unto salvation. If you can comprehend this marvelous hope like Paul, your prayer will be that I may be found in him. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 9. Like Peter, you will say that we may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. He represents the salvation of God for all men, because in him lies the totality of everything God is and has. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 to 10. This is the same image of the invisible and incorruptible Son of God that Jesus was revealing to his handful of dedicated disciples as he went up the isolated mountain and transfigured before them. It is also the same image that the Apostle John saw while in isolation on the island of Patmos, as he stood before the Alpha and Omega. One thing you will notice about these visitations is that they are always hidden from the multitudes who mind earthly things. If you will see the living one, you must go into the quiet, far away from the many contradicting voices of the world below. It's a place for the solitary, those who choose to fast away from the world to gain Christ. Let us examine the striking similarity in these three manifestations of the Christ, the celestial man, in the table below. Daniel's account in Daniel chapter 10 verse 5 to 7 says he was clothed in linen, his face as the appearance of lightning, his loins were girded with fine gold of upaz, his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. The voice of his words were like the voice of a multitude. His body also was like the barrel. The account of John in the book of Revelations, chapter 1, from verse 11 to 16 says, he was clothed with a garment down to the foot. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And he was girt about the paps with a girdle. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. His voice as the sound of many waters. The account of Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 to 5, says that his garment was white as the light, and his face did shine as the sun. What Daniel was beholding was our pure individual and corporate immaculate image in Eden before the foundation of the world. When we hear terms like before the foundation of the world or the beginning, it is a simple reference to the true perfect state before we descended into mortality. Remember the words of Jesus. You have been in me, with me, from the beginning. John chapter 15, verse 27. When Jesus made that statement, he was speaking in his capacity as the man from heaven. And it was addressed to his disciples, those who have been taken out of this world and gathered unto him in one upon his holy hill. Remember the parable of the great harvest at the end of the world. Jesus says, the righteous shall shine as the sun in their Father's kingdom. Matthew chapter 13, verse 36 to 43. When the tithes, which represent the veil of the flesh, is withered out and destroyed in man by the revelation of truth, fire, the image of Christ in its brilliance is unveiled in him exactly the way Daniel saw it in the appearance of the man from heaven. The sun shining in his brilliance is pure immaculate light image of Christ that is unveiled within us as this world passes away. When Daniel saw the celestial man, he observed that his voice was like the voice of a multitude. Some versions likened it to a roar of a great crowd. John later described it as the voice of many waters. The many waters representing multitudes, nations, tongues gathered in him in Christ. Revelation chapter 17, verse 15. This multitude represents the corporate body of Christ, which consists of redeemed and perfected spirits of men in the unity of the faith in Christ. It's one celestial spiritual body with many members who are divinely and perfectly fitted in one in a manner that is unimaginable to man. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. This perfect union is achieved only in those who have converted themselves to that spiritual image of man. They become one spirit with him. It is not possible for those who live after the flesh to speak in one accord. The more they try, the more they get divided, as typified by the confusion of Babylon. The spirit was trying to communicate this perfect celestial union through the psalmist when he says, "How lovely is it when the brethren dwell in unity." The book of Psalms, chapter 133, from verse 1 to 3. A song of degrees of David. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirt of his garment as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded a blessing, even life forevermore." If we truly want access into God's kingdom, we must be aware of our celestial union with each other, for we are members of one another. We are one. We form the body of the invisible and incorruptible Son of God, in whom is manifested or invested the fullness of God. In the last chapter of the book of Daniel, when Daniel was told that he would stand in his lot at the end of days, it was reference to his joining these other brethren who have awoken from the dust and rediscovered themselves among the innumerable perfected spirits that make up the man from heaven. Daniel chapter 12, verse 13. "But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of day." If you open your spiritual eyes, you will see yourself among the multitude speaking in unity with that one voice of the man from heaven. Brethren, let conscious knowledge of the inner man within Christ increase. Let brotherly kindness and love increase through the sacred revelation of Christ from heaven today. In so doing, the passage way back to God's kingdom is made plain to us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 to 11. This is the unity and end of the faith that Paul so often wrote about in his letters to the brethren. The power of the resurrection, the awakening, is working in the saints today to bring them back from the deadness, ignorance of their falsely derived mortal image, and cause them to realize that same image Daniel saw by the river of Tigris. That is our image from the beginning, the first, and the image we put on at the end, the last, when death is no more. "For this cause," he says, "I am the first and the last." Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. And the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. Matthew chapter 19, verse 30. Yes, we were once dead in the ignorance of the nations below when we bore the beastly image of the man of the dust. But the time has come to put on Christ, our true celestial image, and live. "For this cause," he says, "I was dead, but now I live forevermore." Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen." Those who rediscover their states in Eden and continue in truth will live forever, never to taste death again. For this reason, he says, some standing here in Eden in Christ will not taste death. Matthew chapter 16, verse 28. Regaining our states in Eden. If any man can perceive the beauty and majesty and the glory of his image in the true creature of God, who is also the beginning of the creation of God, he will realize how miserable, wretched, blind, and poor and naked he is in his humanity. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 17. The God of this world, whom we will identify shortly, had blinded our inner eyes of comprehension by quenching our flaming eyes burning with pure celestial intelligence, so that we lived in relation to vanity and consequently suffered tribulation and spiritual poverty. In the deception, we were also stripped of our spiritual covering and suffered a total loss of awareness of our perfect righteousness before the Father. All this describes the pitiable manner in which we descended in that Adam-like shift and lost all awareness of our true selves and God's paradise. The workings of the Spirit within us is to restore us back to that celestial image, which is why He is giving us such illumination in this hour. He wants to anoint our eyes with the anointing of the Holy Ghost and restore the burning lamps, so that we can once more see clearly into His vast spiritual kingdom and be freed from the beggarly elements of this material age. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. This was what Jesus was trying to demonstrate in the healing of the blind man, as he led the blind man out of the city and anointed his eyes with saliva. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 25. The saliva represents truth from the depths of God, which restores our eyesight. Initially, when the man's eyes were opened, he saw men as trees, because God was demonstrating that his eyes were opened to the realm of Eden, where you find the trees of life. Notice that Jesus had to lead the man out of the city to accomplish this miracle. God divinely ordered it this way to demonstrate that truth cannot be found among the systems of men and the systems of religion. You find truth and healing only as you let the Spirit lead you into the quiet. Like I spoke earlier, this healing is for the solitary, those who leave all to walk by faith with the Spirit and the Spirit alone. Eden, the realm of God's presence, never left us. It is always present in and without us. It is a darkened comprehension of man's inner eyes that hides that realm from man. Jesus says, if the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Seeing and living in relation to the natural is darkness. Seeing into the invisible with the eyes of the Spirit is light. Eyes of the natural man have not and cannot see the ever-present blooming realm of Eden. But by the inner anointing of God's Spirit, we become consciously aware of Eden and all the things freely given to us by the Father for our enjoyment. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 9 to 12. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it come into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the Spirit of God, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. When the inner eyes of our understanding are totally illumined, as depicted by the flaming eyes of the man from heaven, the power of lust and sin is broken, and we can once more walk in liberty of the Son of God. This is what Paul calls the glorious liberty of the sons of God. The spiritual consciousness of I, called the Christ consciousness, is restored. This is the linen covering seen over the celestial man, depicting the covering of the glory of God. This is the same garment lost in his descent in Adam, along with the loss of the covering of the glory. The Son of God came sin consciousness, guilt, fear, diminished faith, and consequent banishment from God's presence. The Spirit wants to restore that covering and cause us to once more walk immaculate and blameless with boldness before the face of the Father. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. When all this is accomplished in his redeemed ones, the Alpha and the Omega power that created and sustains the universe is once more at our disposal, because we sit with him on his throne, ruling and reigning as he ordained from the beginning. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. All that is required of the saints is to enter into intimate inner fellowship with the Father as we patiently dine with the word of truth. The much needed transformation occurs within, and a new realm unfolds. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20 to 22. Behold, I knock at the door. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Resistance from the Prince of Persia. From the little we have read, it is clear that the appearing of the man from heaven is the much talked about appearing of Christ, as he appears to be glorified in his saints, meaning his coming is within us. It is all about the unveiling of God's true creature in us. There is something shocking I want to share on the resistance that the man from heaven faced for 21 days before he could get to Daniel. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. The man from heaven was saying that from the moment Daniel humbled himself in prayer to seek the face of God, he was dispatched to meet with Daniel. But he couldn't get to Daniel immediately because of fierce resistance from the Prince of Persia. When people read the scriptures with a human comprehension, it creates a false impression that these are reference to demons in the spiritual realm that delay our answered prayers from God. Some brethren have strong convictions within them that every country or city has its own principality or power and power in the spirit. So we have to fight against these spiritual princes to win over territories to Christ. In third world countries, many brethren have traditional beliefs of invisible territorial gods that have to be overcome to kind of have the victory that Christ intends for us. I've seen prayer warriors praying and shouting for long stretches at a time, probably all night, thinking that they are fighting principalities in the spirit. Some go on 21 days fast, thinking that by so doing, they can overcome the principalities and receive blessings from God. Many people have been doing this year after year, but never coming to the conscious knowledge of the truth that the way it is the way we are. These beliefs of men are only deviations from the original source of the problem. Men always seek for solutions without themselves, not realizing that the focus is within. The priest of Persia that resisted the man from heaven for 21 days is an allegorical picture of the thing that resists the coming of Christ within us. We can call him the spirit of the Antichrist, the prince of this world, principalities and powers, the god of this age, etc., etc. They represent the carnal wisdom of this age that simply does not know the things that pertain to God and his kingdom, but rather knows the things of mortal man who perishes. Like we have established, Christ is the answer to our prayers and the passport into God's realm of unlimited blessings. The Spirit is trying to explain why some of us have this vision and have to tarry at times while our waiting is coming. That which resists the knowledge of Christ in man is the false beliefs planted in him by the spirit of this age. This is the mystery of iniquity at work that has to first of all be exposed and then taken away by the spirit of truth proceeding from the mouth of the Lord. We read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 from verse 7 to 8. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he is taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy by the brightness of his coming. The spirit of this age, also known as the spirit of man, had along molded out of us a beastly creature of the flesh, the self, that opposes anything that is of Christ the Spirit. The spirit of truth proceeding from the depths of God is the only thing that can annihilate that beastly creature in man that opposes the unveiling of Christ in him. Prince Michael, the archangel who represents the ministerial arm of the Lord, battles for the saint by sounding the trumpet of truth. Only our uniting with the truth can bring the victory over the beastly man within. although I have nothing against fasting, the way men go about it, but let us understand that denying ourselves food and praying for 21 days can in no way bring about the desired victory that we seek in Christ. It is how we can hear the shout of the Archangel Michael, which is the Christ, and conform ourselves to it that gives us the victory over the Prince of Persia and causes us to stand in our lot in Christ. In plain language, the obstacle to knowing Christ, the inner man, is self-knowledge after the outer man. Understanding from above is the thing that can give us the victory. This calls for patience and continuity on the part of the saints who patiently look out for his coming. Receive the promise of God. Let us meditate on the precious, immutable promises of the Father towards us. I will cause you to eat of the tree of life in Eden, the paradise of God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. I will crown you with true, rich life. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. I will give you the morning star. Revelation chapter 2, verse 28. I will restore your covering that you lost in Adam. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. I will grant you entrance into the New Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. I will cause you to sit on my throne and to rule and reign with me. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. All these promises are fulfilled as we awaken to our true celestial image known of God. Before now, we had been looking darkly through the lenses of our human understanding and comprehended things in parts and in shadows. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 to 13. Man's darkened eyes of understanding and his erroneous walk in relation to shadows is what constitutes the dense covering of death over the nations today. Insecurity, fear, anxiety, emotional turmoil, and name it, are simply fruits of the man who walks in gross ignorance of this present world. However, the time has come to put away the shadows and to begin to see our true immaculate light image through the mirror of the word from heaven and to know ourselves the way we are known of the Father. No more after the carnal perceptions that rule this age. If you can see this great gift of life through the knowledge of divinity shining forth today from the face of Jesus, willingly allow the world chastise you and remold you into that true perfect creature that you are. Times correction and truth is bitter, but we are admonished to receive it with gratitude and live. Read the following inspiring words from the book of Job. Job chapter 5 from verse 17 to 27. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. Therefore despise not thou, the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bandeth up, he wounded and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 troubles, there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from the earth, and in war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be healed from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beast of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great, and thine offspring as the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in its season. Lo, this we have searched it, so it is. Hear it and know thou it is for thy good. 6 troubles refer to the troubles of mortal man who lives in ignorance of the truth, while 7 refers to our perfect state in Christ. So the work of God is to deliver us from a falsely derived mortal identity and bring us back into the knowledge of his only begotten. In this sacred consciousness, no evil things has power over you, neither do you suffer the sin consciousness and sense of lack and annihilation from God that men of this age are subject to. The power of the accusing and condemning tongue ceases to have power over you. Peace is restored and flows like the rivers, and man sees the beauty and the glory of God. Corruption from the Father is all about submitting to the celestial model of truth and rediscovering ourselves the way we are known of the Father, who is the true and righteous God. We must bear in mind that this is the focus of the gospel that was preached by Jesus unto this present world. He simply came to bear witness of our true image from the beginning, as we are known of the Father. Only in awakening cautiously to that image can we rediscover Eden, the paradise of God. The way it is the way we are in truth. And as we behold him with unveiled faces, we are transformed into that same image. We behold him through the mirror of the word of truth and are converted to be that same image. The Apostle John confirms this when he says, when he shall appear, we shall see him, for we shall see him as he is. Today, by the brightness of the illumination of the Holy Ghost in our hearts, we are beholding the true image known of God. And we are being converted daily into that immaculate image who inherits Eden. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 reads, behold, now are we the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Our calling as saints of God is to rediscover and maintain ourselves in that true, immaculate image from the foundation of the world, exactly the way the prophet Daniel the disciples and the apostle John saw it. Hang on tight to this mystery, brethren, and the Lord bless you out of Zion. In his name, Trevor Egagah.